Y'all may be seated, but the Spirit of the Lord is here. Yeah. There's nothing I can say or do to bring him here anymore. When he is here, he is here. And also, like always, Evangelist Marsh has already preached the sermon. So we can sing a song and go home, but not yet. People, she said something about examining yourself. There's so much going on. Even now, things have gotten a lot worse in the last week or so. But one thing I want you to notice, it's affecting the whole world, not just us. It's affecting the whole world. Something else I want you to know, take part of. We go around preaching the same message. Remember, it's going to rain. Every day, the same word, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Remember? Yeah. You must be born again. Yeah. John the Baptist, yeah. You got to be born again. Yeah. We preach the same, don't give up on God. For weeks and weeks, stay with God. Don't give up on God. But what it has done now is people has gotten to the, they like Peter on the boat. We're off the boat. Jesus says, get out of the boat. Come to me. They're looking. He is looking at Jesus. His eyes are staying on him. As long as his eyes was on him, he was above his circumstances. He was above the situation that he was in. The minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, things changed. His condition began to worsen. Today, I'm going to give you a little history. This is not the first time this thing that affected the world has been. I don't remember in my lifetime. I knew it happened 100 years ago, and it happened before that. But let me, the title that I have, What Happens to a Nation That Rejects God, That Forgets God. You know, this thing started with the United States on the 4th of July. On the 4th of July, we have fireworks displays. We have cookouts, parades, marching bands, all in celebrating Independence Day, which marks the time in 1776 when there was a declaration made by 13 colonies that we would no longer be operating under King George III of England. We're separating ourselves from him. We would no longer be subject to the Parliament of Britain. And that kingdom would no longer own or dominate those colonies, establishing then these United States of America, the home of prosperity. All countries everywhere want to get to the United States of America. That's prosperity, so they think. The Declaration of Independence led to war, a war. When the 13 colonies says we don't want to be under nobody's authority, under England's authority anymore, England says, yes, you will, which led to the Revolutionary War, because rebellion always leads to conflict. The United States was born out of a little battle, out of a battle for independence. While it may be fine for colonists to rebel, it may be good for a colony to rebel against another nation in the name of freedom, but it is not okay for mankind to rebel against God in the name of independence. So I want to talk to you today about what's happening in our land and what is happening in our life, because we have made a declaration of independence from Almighty God. Much of what you are seeing today has been incorrectly diagnosed. There is a political diagnosis, economic diagnosis, social diagnosis. Everybody has an opinion about what is wrong. We just want to know what God's opinion is. You can turn your Bibles to a familiar story, Genesis chapter 11. It is a story of the Tower of Babel. It is where men decided to declare a declaration of independence from Almighty God. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words." See, everybody was talking the same thing. They had everything in common. Their confession was in agreement with each other. So the whole earth was on one accord. Sounds good. That's what we try to get the church today. Everybody be on one accord so the Lord can move. They were on one accord. See, one accord don't mean it's a good thing when it's apart from Jesus. So everybody was on one accord. With this unity, they decided in verse 2, they would journey east. They found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. So they went east. Now, you have to understand, to go east up until this point in the Bible meant to go away from God. It started with Cain. Cain rebelled against God. It says that he went east from Eden. He wanted to get as far from God as he could, and he went east. So as the story goes, we have the then known world on one accord, in unity, wanting to leave God. In other words, they wanted to be one nation away from God, not one nation under God. The whole world was thinking and feeling to communicate and communicating this way. So they came up with a plan. Oh, man. Man in this thinking. Verse 3 says, "They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly and use these bricks for stone. And they used tar for mortar." In verse 4, you also see the words, "come, let us." In other words, come, let us with our plan for how the world should work. Let us come up with our own plan from how life should be lived. People are to be functioned. Societies are to be organized. Let us do this. So the whole world and their technology had bricks for stone, tar for mortar, and we will come up with a construction process for the civilization, and we don't need God. Let's go east and do it ourselves. And they did. They went east. And while this is nation building right here, it is also true when people build their own individual lives and say, "I got enough smarts to do this myself. I can handle this on my own. I am good enough, smart enough, rich enough, connected enough. Let us do this." Or, if you're individual, "let me do this." This is the whole world thinking this way. They want to pursue unity, peace, prosperity, apart from God, using the technology of the time. They wanted to do three things, according to verse 4. Verse 4 says, "They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city." So the first thing they wanted to do was to build a city. They are in the land of Shinar, but they wanted to build a city. You and I call it a capital. The centerpiece of the organization of the culture, the capital. Let us create a Washington, D.C. However, we need some religion to make this look okay. But we don't want real righteousness. But we want to give the impression that there is a God thing related to this. So in the city, let's build a tower. The second thing he wants is a tower. We would call it a steeple. You know what a steeple is. Steeple, sometimes that's what we call a steeple on the church, a steeple. Now, how do I know this is a religious symbol? Because it says, and let stretch the tower to the heavens. So we want to build a civilization for man. But in the middle of the city, in the middle of the capital city of the world that we have found ourselves, we are going to build ourselves a righteous tower. And this thing is going to be sweet. It's going to be nice. Because this thing is going to go all the way up to heaven. Yes, it is. In other words, it won't be that heaven will come down to us. That means we're going up to heaven. Heaven not coming down to us. Let's get that clear now. We just got a religious symbolization here, symbolism. We are going to go up to it. But we are going to keep enough God in the vicinity, through the tower, that will legitimize the city, that we are operating society. So there will be enough God's presence to give the impression of God without the reality of God. Countries operate this way. Churches operate this way. Families operate this way. Individuals operate this way. They want to construct their own lives independently of God. But they want it in his name. They want his name just to be in the vicinity. So how Lord has blessed me sometimes, and I say, okay, God is in this. But I live like hell. Everything that I've done, I said, Lord, help me with this job. Help me finance this house for me. Okay, the Lord says, okay, I'm going to try you. I'll let you do it. And you'll see why he'll let us do it. But once we get it done, we forget all about God. Everybody wants a name. He says, then the third thing that they wanted to do, in verse 4 says, we will make ourselves a name. Everybody wants a name. Now, why do they want their name? Because they don't want to be known by God's name. Remember, they have gone east, away from God. They don't want God's name. They want their own name. They don't want to be identified with God, but they want a religious symbol to make it look like they identify with God. But let's build us. Let us make a name for ourselves. And we are not building a name for him. We are building a name for us. They wanted to create their own name because they wanted to be their own authority. They didn't want to answer to anything higher than they were, no higher being. You know, just like you talk to people sometimes and they identify with God, say the man upstairs. We got an attic up here or something, you know. But what went on then, the same thing is happening now. Nothing is new under the sun. But what God wants us to do is get an understanding. This is not the first time the world has been in trouble. But this is the first time that he had a whole group of people that's running east from him. But things are going to change. They wanted to operate in their own name because they wanted their own name authority and they didn't want to have to answer to a higher power. But the only way to not answer to God is to become God. It is frightening. Therefore, you have to give yourself a God name, a small G-O-D name. And so they walked around saying, I know my truth. I am my own standard. So they wanted their own significance. They wanted their own value statement. They are willing to be identified as being overseen, ruled, and regulated by God like Satan. They say, I will establish my own name. Verse 5 says, the Lord came down to see the city in the tower which the sons of men had built. I can imagine, he says, let us check it out, meaning the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 says, the Lord says, behold, they are one people, and they're all on one accord. They're speaking the same thing. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing they purpose to do will be impossible for them. So what did God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit want to do about that? Come, let us go down. Remember they said, let us build a city. Let us build a tower. Let us make a name. If they want to do all this, God says, let us. We got to do something about their plan. God, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost, back, and that's what they call him back then, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing. Let us get together on our plan. So they don't, we just have our own little committee meeting and go down and check this thing out together. So they came and they checked out the big city and this awesome tower. And they saw what man was doing. Now they didn't check it out because they didn't know what the man was doing. They knew what man was doing. So they didn't come just to check out to see what man was doing. He is God. He checked it out to handle the situation. And now we have got a little handling to do. We got to do this thing, something about this plan, because, you know, they don't want to accord. And nothing he said, God said, whatever they purpose to do, they're going to do it. So we got to do something about this. Now stay with me here because I'm going somewhere with this. With all of this technology and all of this information, all of this college, I'm going to, my English teacher's not here now. I can speak bad English because he's not here, Pastor Tony. Pastor Tony. All this education, these are some smart people. They even built cities now. They done built towers now. And they really got it going on. So let's go check this thing out. We must address this. And why must we address it? Because God said we must address it because at the end of verse 6 it says, and this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose will be impossible for them. That is something to think about. This is God talking. He says if we don't do something, they will be unstoppable. Why God said that we wouldn't be able to stop them? Because it says nothing that they plan to do will be stopped. Let's go back a little bit. When God created man, he said three words that would forever change history. God created man, male and female. He created them. And then he uttered three words. These three words were in Genesis chapter 1. He says, let them rule. Three words. Let them rule. That's us's. He said, let them people rule. In other words, we are going to allow them to choose. And we are going to listen at this. Give them freedom of the consequences of their choice. So we are going to let them rule. And we are going to let them determine their decision and receive the consequences of their choices. That is why God didn't interfere with Adam and Eve eating the fruit, because he says, let them rule. We are going to give them freedom. Everybody wants freedom. Everybody's striving to be free. Free from what? I don't know. They want to be free from themselves, I guess. We are celebrating freedom. Remember, I went back to Independence Day. We love that freedom, the parades and all this stuff. My goodness. On the 4th of July, we're going to give them freedom, let them rule. So here is how this thing is going to work. I planted all these trees in the garden. God says, then he tells Adam, for every tree in the garden you may eat freely. That was the first use of the word freedom in the Bible. It's by God. So freedom is not a man-made concept. It's a God concept. And God, he says, every tree in the garden you may freely eat of, except there's one tree in the garden. Now listen to this one. It's one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't deal with that one. You're free to eat everything else. You think about what's going on now. Even a simple thing like using your seatbelts. When seatbelts first come out, nobody wanted to wear them things. I mean, I did, you know, but a lot of people, majority of people, and some people don't wear them now. And now they started giving you tickets for not wearing them now. Because it's been proven fact. People have been thrown out of cars and getting killed just by not using the seatbelt. Now, it's an informational tree. That's what this tree of good knowledge is. It's an informational tree. This tree has data. It just doesn't have data of good, but it also has data about bad. Because it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it talks about the good stuff, but it also talks about the bad stuff that's in it. And that tree, he says, don't eat of it. So this is how freedom works. There should be maximum freedom and limited regulations because there's only one tree that you couldn't eat of. One. God didn't over-regulate the garden. Very limited regulations. Massive freedom, your choice. But I'm going to give you some instructions. You can enjoy the freedom of my garden, but don't mess with the tree in the middle of the garden. Now there is this other tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of life. He says, now you can eat that one, tree of life, but of the information tree, the college tree, the PhD tree, the knowledge tree, don't eat that. Because if you do, there's going to be consequences and you are going to die. That's what it says. But God didn't stop them from eating of that tree. He just told him about the consequences of eating of that tree. He told him just about the consequences, but he gave them the freedom to rule. He says, let them rule. So that gave them free will to do what they want to do, but they have consequences for doing what God didn't want them to do.
That's right.
Same thing applies to us today.
That's right.
God wants us to be true to his word. He wants to keep him in our hearts. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But if we go against his word, we just cut ourselves off and riding on strange territory. We want to ride on freedom territory because with God, we have too many restrictions. People don't understand. All they hear is what they can't do with God. But God has a list full of cans. I don't mean canned food. He had a list full of things that we can do. But So God says in verse 6, if we leave them alone, nothing that has been purposed will be stopped. That's what he said back in verse 6 in chapter 11. What he means is that their evil will constantly be unstoppable because they insist on ruling apart from me. So in keeping evil from being as evil can become, if we don't stop the evil from becoming the evil will what evil will be, if they all get together and spread evil, then God says we're going to have to intervene and stop this situation, the stuff that's going on now. We got to stop it. So here's the question. you must face individually, as a family, as a church, as a society. Will you live by what God says or what the information tree tells you? Will you live by what everybody else think or by what God declares? This saith the Lord. What will you live by? Because you will bear the consequences of the choice that you make. And enough of us have been here. We live long enough that we know about the choices we can make. We found out after the fact because we made a choice, got the consequences of have made that choice, and regret we made the choice because God was right, as he always is.
Amen.
So when you hear my wife talk all the time, and Pastor Scott, but most of your members, it says, everything she does, she asks God, can she do it first? God, I want, and she likes to shop. And she sees something that, oh, man, this dress is, it's hitting. But God, can I have this? He'll tell her no, and she'll walk away from it. I don't care how bad she desires anything, she'll walk away from it. We should be talking. That's why I say you talk with God all the time.
That's right.
Nothing changed in my financial life until I said, I go to God every morning. I said, God, how shall I use this? What shall I pay? What shall I let go another week? What can I leave? And what can I pay more attention to? And he gives me the right answer every time. I never forget, just recently he told me to pay something. It would have blanked my account. But what I didn't know, that I had a check from a mortgage company that was sent. You know how lawyers go back and and I got that check in the mail. I said, whoa, look at here. Hey. Y'all better talk to him. Because you will bear the consequences of the choices that you make. And enough of us have been there and lived long enough, and we know about those choices. Because God is always right. And so they came down because... here is the principle. Listen to this carefully. Once you decide not to rule by God, you will wind up being ruled by someone else who imitates God. Even if that somebody is you. And once you have somebody imitating God in your life, you have an idol. You don't need a tree to be an idol. All you need is somebody with a brain to be an idol. So they wanted independence. Now verse 7 says, let us go down. And they're confused and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. Now there's a word here. I just want you to remember this word because this is God speaking. He says, let us go down. Talk to God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. He says, let us go down. And there confuse their language. Now, who says confuse? Now, who is the creator of confusion? I want you to just pay attention there. Because, all the time, I think Linda did it at the last Bible study. I think she mentioned something about what's going on in the world, what's on TV, and things that are going on in the world. And we've been listening to the news about how Congress is, they can't get together on anything, and how the president and everybody can't get together on anything. One of the doctors who's supposed to be an authority say one thing, and then we have somebody else, a leader, says, we're going to turn the corner. That corner must be 3 or 4 miles down the road. I don't know what corner he's turning. You have been listening and hearing, and nobody is making any sense. No one has an answer for anything. you get the impression by listening to the news that there is a lot of confusion. The problem is we think that confusion has come from people. But did you read that verse that I told you to pay attention? Let us go down and confuse their language. I would like to suggest to you that the confusion in Washington, D.C., and confusion in churches, and the confusion in your family, and the confusion in your own mind is that God is confusing you. Watch this now. If God is creating the confusion, I don't care who else talks to you that you talk to. If God is creating the confusion, I don't care what party you're part of.
Go ahead.
If God is creating the confusion, I don't care who you elect. All he is going to do is add to the confusion. That's it. The confusion consists, or the confusion existed because the independence existed. And the further east you go, away from God, the more independence you insist on, and more confusion you become. Verse 8 says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. He stopped it, in the dead in his tracks. You know, something. When I first went to Vietnam, I couldn't understand a thing them people were saying. Every time they would talk Sanic to me, they were fussing at one another. Then you got to learn a little bit of the words that were, you get to understand, and you speak that Vietnamese language a little bit that you recognize. And things become, you could sort of get a feel to those that were on our side and those who weren't. And it became a little bit easier then. But it's something when you get in the midst, you in communication, when it's on the plane flying over there, oh man, we're all one accord, we're going to war, fellas. And when we landed and confusion, everything stopped. Because we didn't know who was what. Let me tell you what he did. He says he scattered them. And that is important because in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, he told them to spread out and fill the whole earth through the three sons of Noah, Shem, and Japheth, and Ham, Noah's three sons. He says, I want you all to spread out across the earth and fill the earth. That's what he told them. Adam, be fruitful and fill the earth. That's what he told Adam. Fill the earth with what? The image of God. That was the main purpose. So, I want you to spread out and fill the earth. See how so far away we become. They said, we don't like that. We're not going to do that. We are going to go east. And we are going to come together and not fill the earth. We are going to come together as one people in one place. I don't like what God says, so God says, stay here. God, you stay here. We're going east. And we're going east, and we're going to leave you. And we're going to do our own thing over there. God says, whoa, wait a minute. I told you all to scatter. God, I told you, we ain't going to scatter. We ain't using your name. See, my English teacher's not here, so I can say is. I can say ain't because it ain't right. We're going to build our city. God says, I told you to scatter. We ain't going to scatter. We got our own name. We don't need you. We got religion. We have the impression of you. We are not scattering. God says, okay, no problem. Well, We are going to confuse this thing so that nobody will understand what anybody else is talking about unless you are part of that tribe. Then the tribes will have to come together with their own people, people that they could understand. That's how they split them up. And they did get spread. They went in different parts of the earth according to God confound, you know, their language. They couldn't understand. So it had a few people, all these people, and they had to find somebody who they could understand. And that became their tribe. And so all this tribe, they could understand it. They went this way, and the other tribe, they went that way. So it all spread out. Did exactly what Jesus. Why do we have to go through all this when we can just bow down and worship him now? Rather than go through all this hurt, all this pain, all this trouble, trying to avoid God, God says, "What? I just want you to worship me. I'm a jealous God. You worship me. I'm looking out for you." According to verse 8, it says, they wind up doing what God said to do. Doesn't that surprise you? When it wasn't a pleasant experience, after they thought they were going somewhere because they refused to do what God says. We started out with the statement, one nation under God. I pledged allegiance to the flag. And it goes on top and says it's one nation under God. That's what I don't understand. One nation under God. That's what we named ourselves. That's what we call ourselves. That's what we proclaim to be under God. One nation under God. The only thing we are one nation, we went east. The only thing we have is we speak the same language. That's all we have. Because we're sure not one nation under God. I'm talking about everybody. You know, that's why the Lord tells us we can be in this world, but not a part of this world. That's why even when in Egypt, God told Egypt, said, look, you call him for keeping captive for 400 years. They kept him for 430 years and still didn't want to let him go. So God says, look, I got some things to take care of. And he started plagues. He started rivers flowing with blood. He started a lot of stuff, but it didn't affect the Israelites. I don't care what goes on there. Don't you ever give up on God. I don't care how tough things get. He told me to go back and give you the history of how disappointed he was with people. So much so that when he told them it's going to rain, they were stupid. They didn't know what rain was. And they laughed at him and poked at him and made fun of him. But when it started raining and the water started rising, the doors started shutting. They were banging on windows, hollering and wailing of teeth, but it was too late then. God says, I don't want it to be too late for you. You don't know how soon. I mean, the whole world is, this thing is covering the whole world, and people are dying. But see, the thing is, if they weren't obedient when the Passover lamb was the lamb of death, if they didn't do and was obedient and put that blood on the doorpost, they would have died too. See, it's a thing about being obedient to what God says. And God says when things make sense, only thing he says, they can't tell you to do what you don't believe in your heart to do. If God says don't, you don't do it. But simple things like wearing a mask, who's going to hurt? People don't care about nobody else. Just because somebody told them, don't wear a mask. Somebody that's, well, well, his rule is rejected. In verse 9, therefore the name of the city was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. It says that the Lord made them do it. He did. They couldn't help but do it. Because the Lord will not allow man to compete with him. But he will allow you enough success that you think you are. He will allow you just to get a little so that you think that you are something else, that you are going somewhere. You think you are independent. He'll give you enough to think. It's nothing but a test. He'll allow you to have stuff, knowing that you have to prove to him know where you're going.
Yes, that's true. He does.
That's why we are so divided in this country, in this nation. That's why the little rules that they, little stimulus check that they give you. And I just never forget this. He promised a little guy who was working a regular job, he's going to give him a little bit of money. So he was on the news that particular time. So they asked him, you know, you are for the president. He says, yes, because I got money. You know, he loved me. He gave me money. So they asked him, how much money a week on your check did you get? $20-some dollars. You mean you're leaving the promises of God for your finances, depending on somebody else that's giving you a little dribble of this so that you can be on their side for $20? Man, think. There was a story, early 20s, 2000s, 2002, somewhere around there, where they were having a show. You know how they have the old planes come out and they'd be showing the old World War II planes and things. So they had one of these shows. And the thing was that the pilot came down, he landed the plane, was running, and evidently when he got out, he must have tripped a lever or something, but the plane was still going. And the plane eventually, took off, and it was flying high. See, you know, one thing about that, they didn't have self-piloting planes back in that day. So the plane was flying around, going high, and all of a sudden, it was running out of gas. And it came down, and it crashed. The point is, you can go high without God at the control of your life. You can build a name for yourself, a career for yourself. You can build money for yourself. You can get high for yourself. You can't say, I don't need God. Look at me. You can do all that without God by yourself. That is, until you run out of gas. And I'm seeing indications. You watch the news of what's going on. Everything is related. What's going on today? I looked in the food line. Cars were miles and miles, 4 and 5 deep in miles. There were limousines. There were Mercedes. There were Cadillacs. There were all kinds of expensive cars,
yes,
in line. Because they were hungry. They were prosperous. They were living high on the hog by themselves, never thinking that God is going to bring this to an end. Then, on the other hand, we have testimonies of people right in here with the job situation. People were laying people off. People were working from their homes, not hiring anybody. We had a testimony from Adrian's husband week before last. He says that God has blessed him with a job. He had application after application. This is his testimony. He already given his testimony, so I'm not giving his testimony. But see, somebody need to hear that to encourage somebody else that I don't care how bad it gets. When you have your hand in the hand of God, you're going to prosper. When your hand is in the hand of our Lord. I preached a sermon one time. I said, look up. Look back and move forward. That was years ago. I look up from whom all my blessings come from. Then I look back. I said, Lord, you brought me through some rough times to this place. And I walk in your name. He's good. His word is to be praised. I'm done with this. Don't worry about that. I'll let you know if you feel weak and feel like tired, you feel like giving up. I says, no, don't let go his unchanging hand. I don't care how bad it gets. It's not going to be that bad because he's going to bring you out. But he's not about a fake thing now. I know people had gotten stuff from God. God, I mean, good blessings. When you didn't have any credit at all, and you prayed, said, God gave them what they needed, and the credit was good, and they stopped serving him. And as if you can get a brand new car. How long is it going to stay brand new? See, I mean, this is serious. You got payments, and you leave God thinking, oh, I made it now. I'm rolling. Showing off, shiny tires, and you're wiping that baby off every day. I know people that wash that car every day. And then something happened. See, because they were involved in different markets and 401ks and stuff. And all of a sudden, God said, I want to see how long he's going to stay. He got bass boats to match the truck. Oh, Lord, they were bragging about that. And the color of the trucks were the same color of that football team. Yeah, you remember, she'll know what I'm talking about. And then the market, which I don't know why they call it bad, they call it the black market. The market just fell for them things on their knees crying. They'll just say, oh, Lord, now they're calling on the Lord. See, I know the way they act, the way they talk, I know they weren't saved. But I also know some that in the stock market did fall, they kept God in the forefront. Yeah. And the market returned, they didn't get panicky or anything because they said, well, let's hold on. God said, hold on just a little while longer. And I'm going to make everything all right. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for